Welcome to Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. We're brought to you today by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Atlanta Business Radio X. Our show today is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about some business strategy and some marketing strategy, and I have two great guests in the studio today. I have Mr. Cornelius Skeet Spillane, and how did you get to the name Skeet?
There were too many Corneliuses running around, so my grandmother nicknamed me, and it stuck.
Fair enough. All right. And then we've got Jennifer Dunphy from the Vayu Media Group. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here today.
All right. Good. So, Skeet, let me come back to you, and let's start off a little bit with our strategy talking about consulting. As you know, here at Renegade Radio, we're all about breaking the rules of conventional thinking, and I got to tell you, nothing jumped off the page at me about breaking those kinds of rules than what you told me you wanted to talk about today, which was consulting as a strategic weapon. So, what does that mean? I'm excited to hear how I'm going to use a weapon in my business.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that are out doing consulting, and a lot of people in the business world engaging consultants, but a lot of times they're not leveraging them to the full potential that they could be. And when you're working with consultants, you have people that are working in a lot of different environments, and if you can extract the information they have and put it to work for you in your unique business model, you can actually use it as an advantage over your competitors.
So how do you go about extracting that information?
Well, the one thing that I like to see is making sure that when you're talking to your consultant that you're trying to understand what it is they do well and use them for what their expertise is. And there's a lot of generalist type of consultants out there that are just trying to provide business analysis and others, but usually those consultants also have a unique skill that they've developed over time, and making sure that you leverage them into the places where that skill has the most impact on your business is the strategy that I would recommend all business owners imply.
All right. In your world with consulting, you're with the Midtown Consulting Group.
That's correct.
Do you guys cover a broad swatch of consulting areas, or do you have one or two particular areas that your group focuses on?
What we actually do is we are an operational effectiveness firm. So we work on any of the things that make your business run better. So if you think about, there's strategy firms out there that do nothing but helping you set your long-term strategy for your business, and there's integration firms that are out there to really drive forward your projects that you have going on. What we do is actually make sure all the mechanics are in place to take that strategy and put it into your business effectively. So process improvement, transformation management, whether it's change management or communications within the company, technology advisement to make sure that the vendors you're selecting and the packages you're selecting align to the business requirements that you have, and complex program management. So we try to make sure that the pieces you have in place are there to make sure you can achieve the strategies that you've laid out.
So if I'm looking to bring a consultant into my business, how do I know what the key important areas are that I should bring somebody in to look at?
Generally, it's when you have there's a couple of different reasons people engage consultants. One is that they don't have the bandwidth, that they are stretched too thin and they need to expand their current capabilities. Another is that they have a very specific point need of expertise within an area. And sometimes it's also just as simple as they need an additional opinion, that they've been saying this for years and years and no one's buying into it. And sometimes just having someone else say it is a valid strategy. So there's a lot of different ways you can leverage a consultant, but the one that I think is most effective from getting the most out of your consultant is when you're focusing on what they do well. So if you have a problem that you can't figure out and you've worked with your team and you feel like you're not leaving the box that you've been working in, bringing a consultant in from the outside can give you a different perspective that can maybe turn the problem on its side and give you a different solution.
I agree. There's a lot of value to having someone from the outside tell you something. I remember being a kid, and not even business, just as a kid, I'd come home and tell my mom the most amazing things that I had heard, and I was just blown away. Mom, you won't believe this. Here's a way that you can make more money mowing lawns, or whatever it was I came up with. And she would look at me and go, I've been telling you that for years. I just had an inability to hear it from her. And I think that oftentimes happens in business. Is that the experience you guys see?
It is, absolutely. Providing that it's a different perspective. It's sometimes it's also having someone who the other people don't feel like have a different agenda, that you're coming in and you're paid to provide that expertise. So therefore, there's a certain view that you're actually providing them an unbiased truth. So even though it may be the same, you're actually providing it from a different perspective.
In this economy, I'd like to approach this question from two sides. One, engaging a consultant. Obviously, when the economy is topsy-turvy, people are reluctant to spend money on anything, especially help. How do you encourage and transition business owners through that process to understand what they should be spending for that outside help?
Well, there's two pieces. One is that engaging the consultant can provide you that strategic advantage over your competitor to further enable your revenues or achieving your goals. But the other piece is that during a downturn, you're also not as likely to have as much money to bring on additional headcount. So the ability to bring on a consultant in a shorter window and not have to hire that expertise over a longer term is a strategic advantage to the business as well.
Now, some people may not like this. If, as an employee, this is a scary question to hear fly across the table to someone. But do you believe that in an economy like this, sometimes it does make sense to downsize some of the staff to bring in that professional help?
I don't necessarily recommend. Very rarely do we recommend downsizing.
Well, nobody wants to be the bad guy, right?
Well, no one wants to be the Bobs.
Right, exactly.
But you do want to optimize the processes you have in your organization and make sure that you've got the right resources on it. And a lot of times what you'll find is the people that do things on a day-to-day basis aren't necessarily the people that you want to come in and solve a specific problem in a short window. So I think there's opportunity for both. I wouldn't necessarily ever recommend downsizing just to downsize because of the economy, because we've seen in a lot of cases, you downsize and then you're behind the curve when the economy shifts back, and then you're in a panic mode trying to hire back in a competitive environment. Whereas if you can find a way to be more strategic in your use of those people and optimize the use of those people, you can maintain those people in your organization and then be ready for the jump when the economy comes back.
I want to come back to that in a little bit because I want to revisit you on another subject matter and talk about that. But in the meantime, let me cover the other side of this unstable economy. So I feel like you talked about general consultants. There are a lot of guys out there that seem to be able to give fantastic advice when the economy is going well. It's pretty easy, right? But how do you ensure that you're able to give good advice when the market is in odd directions, such as we're experiencing right now?
Well, I think that's partially where you have to rely on the expertise and the knowledge, and that's why you want to make sure that the person you're engaging has that depth of expertise in a given area, because they will have been in that long enough that they've seen different economic cycles. And things you do in an up economy versus things you do in a down economy are going to be very different. So having someone who actually has more tenure in their role and more experience across different cycles. You don't want someone who entered consulting 3 years ago because the only experience they have is a down cycle. If you get someone who's been in it for 15, 17 years, now you're looking at someone who's been through two or three up and down cycles. They've seen it and they've had this experience in variety of industries and a variety of companies. So if you go to their knowledge point and their depth of experience, you're going to get a better result.
So who's an ideal target for your agency to work with?
We tend to work with mid to large organizations where they're staffed up for their daily operations, but new projects coming on, they're going through a change in their organization or they're trying to enter into a new market and they actually need to expand, but they don't know exactly how they want to expand.
And how about startups? I noticed that that you've got some good experience with that. Is that a good wheelhouse for your...
It is. We actually, a lot of times, can give startup organizations expertise and advice around things they need to have in place, the right level of infrastructure. As a startup, a lot of times, the mentality is, we don't want to put anything in place. We want to run fast and hard. And that's great in the early days, but you constantly have to be looking forward in a startup to what is the next level of infrastructure and process that we need in order to be effective.
And for you personally, you specialize a bit in technology as well, is that right?
That's correct.
I mean, I noticed the alphabet soup behind your name, the CISSP, the HIPPA. I actually know what some of those things are, but tell us what some of your certifications are for the audience.
Well, I've actually came out of the security and infrastructure industry and had worked specifically in infrastructure security. So I am a CISSP and have worked in the security industry for probably the majority of my career. Probably about the last 17 years I've worked in information security. The CHSP, which is the Certified HIPAA Security Professional, I was actually on the original certification team for that certification, which is actually allowing us to come in and look at your HIPAA certification, make sure that you're in compliance with the HIPAA regulation around healthcare, and make sure that you're adhering to the privacy and security regulations.
Great. So if somebody wants to engage your services or see if they're a good candidate for what you guys offer, how would they go about that? Well, how would they get in touch with you?
Through either my email or through our website. They can reach out and talk to us. That would be cSpillane at midtowncg.com. And they can send me an email, and I'll be glad to get back with them.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, Skeet, this was good information. I want to touch a personal note, though, before we move on to our next guest. So I noticed that that you told me before the interview that you are an endurance athlete. Tell me a little bit about that.
I am, actually. So I have been an athlete my entire life, and I've actually competed in triathlon for about my first triathlon was in 1982, and have been competing on and off since then, and have completed a Ironman, and am right now trying to decide which way I want to go, whether I want to actually go back to pure running or continue on the triathlon path.
Now, was that a full distance Ironman that you did?
The 70.3.
The 70.3. Okay, that's what I thought. I'm a research nut, so I looked you up. So I did find it. That was impressive. It was impressive times. You did very well, and you were, 286 out of almost 1,800 athletes?
Yes.
Not a bad showing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was. I love that distance. It's fun. I tend to like the shorter, faster distances, so I... In the past, my favorite distance is actually the Olympic distance, which is a fun, it's a 2-hour event, and you can knock it out and you still have the rest of your day.
Yeah, I found when I was training last year, because I did Ironman Florida, the full distance, last November, and I found that if I did the shorter events, I would take an hour, for example, and go do a sprint. Well, then I still had 4 more training hours I had to put in after the event. So it changed my perspective a little. Yeah, I want to end with this on this, and that is that pointing out, just tell me about some of the things you've learned from your experience with endurance sports in relating to life and business. Because I was reading some of the recommendations, and words that jumped out at me were discipline, consistency, confidence, planning, efficiency. All things that are super critical to endurance sports. Tell me how you've carried those over into business.
Well, I think the biggest one is knowing what your strengths and weaknesses are. And to correlate it back to triathlon, when you do an assessment of your how you're going to structure your race and how you're going to structure your training, you look at your events and you break them down by swimming, biking, and running, and you determine where your weaknesses are. And I think understanding your weaknesses allows you to accentuate your strengths. And the same thing applies to business. So once you understand what the pieces are that you're really strong at, you can work on the pieces that you are weak in and actually accentuate them and make them a weapon.
Which is very much what you guys do with the Midtown Consulting Group.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, Skeet, that's great. I want to get some more information from you before we're done here today. But in the meantime, I'd like to bring Jennifer into the conversation. You mind hanging out for a few minutes while we meet with her?
Absolutely.
Right, fantastic. So, Jennifer, Vayu Media. Tell me a little bit about who you guys are and what you do.
Vayu Media is a full-service interactive agency. So basically what that means is we work with businesses to help them to create their digital strategy, their online presence, to make sure that their prospective clients can find them when they're searching not only for their business name, but for their services or their products that they offer.
All right, so you told me that digital marketing is really about how businesses and individuals can increase their personal and professional profile, and this is something we're seeing more and more, where it's becoming important to be visible on the web. Even in job interviewing, this is becoming important. How do you guys help businesses and individuals do that?
It's different for businesses as it is for individuals, but it takes the same tools, essentially. So it's just as important what you find about a business or an individual online as to what you don't find about them online. So what we do is we want to inundate the search engines with the right message that the business or the individual wants to portray about themselves and what they do, what's their area of expertise, what is their value proposition, and how do they help people. So it's really about figuring out, for a business, for instance, it's figuring out their goals, their objectives, their target market, their budget constraints. What does their current marketing mix look like? And then from that, we work with them to put together a cohesive strategy that will help them achieve all their goals within their budget constraints and be in front of their target market. So we just really have to, it's very specific for each individual business.
So this is a great question. You said something that caught my attention. You talked about what they don't see. Mm-hmm. How do you keep things that you don't want people to see from showing up?
That's a really touchy subject. You know, we get a lot of calls from both businesses and individuals that are needing help with reputation management. As I mentioned, it's important what shows up online, but what doesn't show up is important as well. If you think of it from a business perspective, if you're trying to win a new key client and they're researching online yet nothing about your business shows up, that's just as bad as having negative publicity show up. So part of what we do is, as I mentioned, making sure that we're pushing that message, the right message that they want everybody to know about their business out there. And there are so many tools that we can utilize to do that, from press releases to articles to all the social media sites to blogging and getting them to guest blog on expert sites, things along those lines. It's really like a big puzzle. There are a lot of different pieces to it.
Well, speaking of different pieces of the puzzle, the thing I like when I look at your company is the theme that you seem to go after is delivering results. And a lot of people don't talk about results. They talk about, oh, we're gonna market you, we're gonna get you to the top of Google. But even being at the top of the Google does nothing for you if it doesn't put cash in the register, if it doesn't increase
sales.
How do you guys take that approach to be an interactive company and help clients achieve their true goal, which is to grow their business?
It really all boils down to doing the proper consultation in the very beginning of the strategy. You can't just pull the trigger and start running with the implementation. We really have to learn about that client, what their goals are, who their target market is, what are their margins, what are their profit points, because it boils down to choosing the appropriate keyword strategy for us to target. Some might be the type of keyword phrases that are likely to drive traffic to their website, but traffic is worthless unless it's converting. And we need to know what their margins are, because there's one particular phrase that might yield them higher return on their investment. But it really does all boil down to revenue. You know, it doesn't matter if you're number one on Google all day long if people aren't coming to your website and they're not converting. So it's just a matter of figuring out what can we do to bring the highest return on investment, because bottom line, that's all that matters. And a lot of times people are so concerned with the analytics. And granted, analytics are great, but far too often people aren't doing anything with that information. They're sitting there, they're looking at their numbers. Oh, great, we're number one on Google, but how much money has that resulted in their pocket? So
do you help businesses beyond the point of the analytics? Meaning, I've seen a lot of marketing companies that when they talk about results, they're talking about who they're going to deliver to your doorstep. They're going to put people on your web page, or they're going to put people into your lead bin. But yet the fall down isn't on the marketing company doing that portion of the job. It's the fact that the delivery of the sales and the actual conversion of the client on the backside doesn't happen. Do you guys help clients all the way through that process, or do you have partners that do that?
We do have partners that do that. What we do, our goal as a company is to create their message, create their image, and make sure that we're bringing the appropriate type of people to their website. Now, once we've done that, once we've made sure that they are showing up at the top of the search engines and it's for their targeted keyword phrases, for the type of people that are likely to engage the business, then beyond that point, it's really up to the business to be able to close that sale. Now, if we happen to design their website, well, then that's on us to make sure that we created a website that's easy to navigate. It's functionally set up properly, it's user-friendly, and people can find what they're looking for quickly, because that's another important aspect that a lot of businesses don't take into consideration. They might rank number one in the search engines, but if they have a website that's difficult for people to navigate, or it's not user-friendly, or it's outdated, they're going to have a hard time achieving conversions.
Well, that's very true. I know I've gone to a number of websites because they were high-ranking in the search, but as soon as I clicked on them, I clicked the back button and went right back off because I knew I could not easily find what I wanted. What kind of advice do you give companies to help people engage their website?
The most important thing to think of, and this sounds kind of weird for somebody in search marketing to say, but the second thing you should think about is your search engine optimization. The first thing you should think about is your site's visitor, your potential clients, your existing clients. And if you can create a user experience that is engaging, if you're giving them value, if you're giving them the type of information and answering the type of questions that they have, they're likely to stay on your website longer, go through more pages, spend more time on the site, refer it to friends, and link back to your site from blogs. So if you put your user first, it's going to help your search results in the end. And far too often, businesses are really concerned with writing for SEO. And granted, SEO is great, and it's a big piece of what we do for our clients. But you need to think about the customer first and SEO second.
Do you guys spend a good amount of time over the long haul working with clients on constantly adjusting and tweaking that strategy? And we know the internet is changing all the time, and that's a lot to keep up with. So you may have a great interactive site today, but tastes change, needs change, technology changes. How do you help a business manage all that?
It's critical. You know, you just hit the nail on the head with the search engines, with online marketing. As soon as you've implemented something, it's almost as if it's outdated. It changes so rapidly. Just to kind of put it into perspective, in 2011, Google rolled out approximately 422 algorithm changes. On any given year, they do, you know, as many as 500 or 600 algorithm changes. So this is a very dynamic process. Things are constantly changing. And it's not something that a business should just let be static. It's something that needs to constantly be revisited, tweaked to make sure that you're getting not just traffic, but conversions, and you're constantly doing things to improve that user experience. And far too often, businesses treat it like an item on a checklist. And once it's taken care of, check, done, never to be looked at until the website's outdated.
So here's the new buzz, mobile. How do you guys handle this? Companies have forever put up websites that they work great on your computer, but they're not very friendly to mobile devices, and the consumer has gotten so mobile oriented, they want to be able to get information on the move, on the go, and maybe even at the point of sale. How do you help companies with that strategy?
Mobile marketing, it's all the hype right now. You know, it's a sexy thing in digital marketing. Everybody wants it. Everybody loves it. And if you look at the numbers, there was a stat last year that I loved. It said that there are three times more mobile phones smartphones being activated around the world than babies being born. So more and more people are accessing the web and searching for products and services from their mobile devices. And if a business does not have a website, you know, you don't have to have a mobile-specific website, although those are great. And you don't have to have an app, although those are great as well. You just need to make sure that your website is mobile-friendly. It's structured in a manner where people can navigate through it. It's easy to get from page to page, easy to find what they're looking for, because users expect your website to load on their cell phone just as quickly as it loads on their desktop. And if you have all sorts of flash and you have tons of different pages on there, it makes it really difficult to do that. And users tend to get a negative brand perception if a business doesn't have the appropriate image portrayed on their mobile website, or their mobile-friendly website at least.
That is such a great point. So take me into that, because I know you guys are big on brand and reputation marketing. How do you build a reputation in your business?
Well, first of all, you have to figure out what you want people to know about your business. You know,
and don't know.
Exactly. Very important. You know, a lot of times people look at reputation management from a reactive stance, which is not the way to be. You know, you need to be thinking about it all the time. You need to make sure that you're constantly putting your best foot forward online, because the last thing you want to happen is to let somebody else go out there and create your digital reputation for you. So it's about securing all your different social profiles, securing your blogs, being active online, and really making sure that you're leading the message out there, because unfortunately, with consumer-generated media, anybody can hide behind their computer and say anything they want about anybody and any business. And we all know that people are far more likely to post a comment or a review about a negative experience than they are about a positive experience with a business. So it's really critical that people are monitoring their online presence. And there are so many tools that they can utilize to do this. Everything from just as simple as setting up Google alerts to figure out who's mentioning their personal name, who's mentioning their business name, what's being said, so that they can respond quickly and mitigate any of the risks of people posting negative reviews online.
Well, that's a good point, because in my experience, I see when I go somewhere and have a bad experience, I know where to go home and report that information. But when I'm out at a place and I have a good experience, I don't see those companies oftentimes doing anything to try to capture my good experience on the spot. Do you work with businesses on those types of strategies?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are so many avenues available to businesses online to get their customers and their clients to talk about their brand, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a company that offers professional services. You want to make it as easy as possible for your customers and your clients to spread the good word about your business. You want to entice them or incent them to do that. So depending on the business, there's actually, we can integrate it with a mobile technology to get people, as they're sitting right there at a restaurant, get them to write that review, and all of a sudden they get some sort of coupon to come back again, things along those lines. It's just about incentivizing them to favorably spread the word of the business.
That makes a lot of sense. So who's an ideal target client for your business?
Well, being a marketing company, we can work with all different types of businesses. We don't work with any specific verticals. However, we do focus on the mid-market. We do a whole lot more with the mid-market and then larger small businesses. And we also have a pretty heavy concentration of technology businesses, professional service, and e-commerce-based businesses that we work with. But at the same time, again, being a marketing firm, we can work with everything from a psychic network to a law firm to a medical practice.
So being a marketing company, what do you do to ensure people can find you? How would I go about looking you up and knowing, hey, I've got to have Jennifer in here working with my business?
You know, I think that's really critical. We drink our own Kool-Aid. So really everything that we do for our clients, we successfully implement for ourselves as well. The majority of our own business comes from our own online marketing avenues. So we can attest to the success that we've had. And we can always also experiment with our own site and our own profiles as well. So everything we do for you, we do for ourselves also.
All right. Well, that brings me to this point, because I noticed something interesting as I was learning about you. Someone was speaking to your skill set, and they said one thing that you were really good at was building the internal talent pool in your organization. And that certainly is intriguing to me, because these days it's hard to find good people that not only have the talent and the skill set, but really fit the culture of your organization. How do you go about building the talent pool that you've managed so far at your company?
Well, I think it really boils down to the leadership. We have a really good leadership team at our company, and we're pretty careful about who we hire on. And then we also like to empower our managers to help us find the best employees. Some of our top performers have come from other employees in the organization, and we put them through a pretty rigorous interview process to make sure that they're not only going to fit with the skill set and the knowledge set, but they'll fit with our company culture and their goals are in alignment with our own goals. Because bottom line, you know, we want them to see the company as it's really a family environment. You spend so much time working, so it's really important that the culture in the office is going to mesh well.
So I'm going to shift a little bit here and come to a little more personal view, so our audience can kind of come to know you a little bit. When we talk about family and you talk about these types of things, you have a passion and a penchant for children's charities. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about who you're involved with there.
One of the charities that we work with is Himalayan Children's Charities. It's a great foundation. It's in Nepal, and we work with a school that helps children that either don't have parents or they are from a single family parent, and we help to put them through school and make sure that they have all the tools in place to make sure that they're successful throughout their life. So it really works with them from the time they come on all the way through high school, and then gives them assistance into finding jobs once in college. So it's actually a client of ours that we became pretty active with, their charity and their foundation.
Awesome. And you're working on building another charity, I believe, down in Colombia. Is that right? Tell us about that.
Yes. We have an office down in Bucaramanga, Colombia.
I love how you put the accent on it. I could never pull that off. Say that again. I just like to hear
Bucaramanga.
The name.
Yes. I'm trying to learn Spanish right now. But we have an office down there, so... You know, we're pretty active in the community where we have our office, and we're trying to put together a foundation down there for children for essentially after-school activities where they can go and stay out of trouble and be active with sports and things along those lines. So that's something that we're pretty passionate about, and I'm hoping that we'll get that fully off the ground here shortly.
Now, do you have a background in sports? I mean, obviously, we've talked to Skeet about his endurance athlete, and you look pretty athletic. Or do you have a background in sports at all?
Yeah, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. I've been a dancer since I was 2 years old, did gymnastics when I was younger, loved to ice skate, loved to snowboard, and I'm a yoga addict.
Oh,
I've never done the Iron Man, though. That kind of scares me. Or Iron Woman, I should say.
Well, you're at a good point. You start talking about a hot chick that can snowboard, now you're on to something, right? Because a lot of them are frumpy and dumpy, or you can't tell because of the clothing they wear. So that's pretty exciting. You said you're an adrenaline junkie. What else is on the bucket list that you've either done or you got teed up?
Oh, God, everything's on the bucket list. I would like to go paragliding in Brazil. I just want to jump off the cliffs and go paragliding. I think that's amazing. My husband actually got me flight lessons for my birthday.
Wow.
So I think that will be pretty fun, kind of scary, because if you've ever been in a car with me, it's terrifying. So I don't know what he was thinking getting me flight lessons, but I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I still have yet to jump out of a plane, so I would like to do that.
Well, I'm your guy. I got about 216 jumps of my own, and
nice.
I can tell you where to go in town, the best people that I can recommend for that.
That'd be fun.
So I get that question every time it comes up. People are like, oh, I've been wanting to do that. Where can I go? So when we get off air, I'll hook you up with that.
That'd be great.
Well, before we wrap up today, Skeet, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation, and I want to kind of get a little bit of back and forth with you guys so our audience can really tie in some of the things we've talked about today and figure out, how do they grow their business? Because that's what they're all looking to do. Everybody's looking to have some success. And so if you had to say your top one or two strategies for this current economic market, what would you recommend people are spending their money on doing to move their business forward?
Well, one thing that I think that we see a lot of cases is that you need to make sure you optimize the processes you have. Making sure that you're able to deliver to your clients what you actually promise in as efficient of a manner as possible is paramount in this environment. You actually, you know, a lot of times if you can look at a process and find, you know, 25, 50% of cycle time waste in there and actually extract that by just simply streamlining the process and removing some of the wasteful steps, you can actually deliver to your client and surprise and delight your clients more effectively because you'll be more efficient than your competitors. That would be the main one that I see repeated.
I am amazed how many companies don't focus on surprising and delighting clients. They just simply focus on how do we move more. Jennifer, how do you take a company and really help them highlight that? So let's say we've had Skeet in and he's helped us figure out that strategy. Now what do I do to make sure that I'm properly represented so new prospective clients know, hey, I'm going to be surprised and delighted by this company?
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned before, it is all about putting together that strategy first, whether it's something where they've hired a consultant to help them do that or they're doing it internally. But from there, you need to figure out which step to take first, because let's face it, there are so many different avenues that businesses could utilize to better promote themselves, whether it's online or offline. And I think the most important thing is that they shouldn't close any doors. They shouldn't stop doing something if it's working. You want to keep as many doors open as possible. So it's figuring out which one is going to offer the best bang for their buck right now, whether that is search engine optimization, whether it's a PR strategy, whether it's a social media strategy. You just need to figure out and take calculated risks as to what is going to give the best bang for the buck at the moment.
Well, if I hear you guys both correctly, it's absolutely critical to measure the results of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Otherwise, you're throwing your dollars away, and every dollar makes a difference.
Which I see a lot of that. I see businesses that float from strategy to strategy, not really measuring the effect of the strategy, but rather measuring something far down the line that may or may not be related. As we discussed, their marketing is not the problem. It's the sales process after the marketing. But who do they blame?
The marketing. Of course.
Well, and I think one of the reasons for that is it's understanding which metrics you need to measure. You know, that's a we see it constantly in business where people will measure a lot of different things, but you're better off measuring a few right things than to measure everything and not understand what the levers are in your organization.
Yeah, it's measuring and then taking action. You know, having all this information at your fingertips is great, but if you're just looking at it saying, okay, we know where we're strong, we know where we're weak, and not doing anything about it does you no good anyway. So it's a matter of taking action on the actual analytics that you have available to you.
Well, speaking of measuring and analytics, I'm going to ask one other question here because this one always amazes me, and I want to know if you guys work at all with your clients. Skeet, you probably do this more so than Jennifer might, but I'm still curious. I see business owners all the time that have no understanding of what their time is worth. So when they're making decisions about whether to do something in-house or whether to outsource it, they just look at an outsource solution and go, that's too expensive, it's an expenditure, I don't want to make it. But yet the dollars that it's costing them internally far outweigh that. How do you approach that with clients?
That's a tough one because you have to show your value first before they're ever going to recognize the opportunity that exists. And if they don't measure if they don't value their own time in the same way and they think that they can just push things out, then you're going to have a hard time justifying how you're actually offsetting their costs within their organization. So that it's a challenge. It is a constant challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You know, a lot of times people think it's when you're talking about an online marketing strategy, especially when you get into something like social media, everyone thinks that they're an expert and everyone thinks that they can just hire an intern or have their kid do it, but it really needs the strategy behind it. And it's not as simple as playing around on social media sites if you really want to have an effective strategy that's going to drive bottom line results. And far too often, you have people where this is not the best use of their time. And they need to calculate what is my time worth. And if this is worth my time, great, I should do it. But if not, they should hire experts who can get it done better and faster.
Yeah, that's the point I wanted to bring back to you, Skeet, when I mentioned earlier. I wanted to circle back. In triathlon, I've experienced this, as I'm sure you have. There's a point where you can get by with inexpensive gear and inexpensive strategies, but there are certain places you just do not want to compromise. For example, a bicycle seat. You pick a poor bicycle seat, and 112 miles is going to be a really long day.
you're exactly right. And it's making sure you understand the value of that, back to your last point. And sometimes you don't know the value of that until about mile 108.
That's right. You can get a less expensive seat, but you might not want to.
Exactly.
Awesome. So let me toss this out to you guys, because you know our show here is all about breaking the rules of conventional thinking. So tell me something about your business or just about you personally that kind of stands outside of the norm. Where is it that you in life or business march to the beat of a different drum?
I'll go. I think one thing that I see is make it personal no matter what you do. And tie it back, whether it's a relationship with your business, people a lot of times use the phrase, oh, it's just business. And, if you make it personal, because it is their person, it's the thing they do 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and sometimes more. It's that personal relationship. It's their commitment to do better. So if you can actually make it personal, both in your own life and you take their problem seriously and as a personal challenge, you're going to be more effective.
Great advice.
I think with me personally and with our company, everything we do and every ounce of me is completely unconventional. But I think most importantly, it's all about taking calculated risks and not being afraid to fall on your face, because you learn some of the greatest lessons from your mistakes and what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. So I think it's really all about getting outside of your comfort zone. If you're always comfortable, things are just going to remain stagnant. You have to really push the envelope and test yourself and test the limits and just work on taking it to the next level.
That's so right. And I can pinpoint that from a couple of examples. One, when you talk about calculated risk with skydiving, I always tell people I've never once left the plane and thought, I wonder how this is going to turn out. I've always at least had a strategy and a plan in place, and not just taking a dumb risk. And then, of course, with triathlon, it's the same kind of thing. It's a strategy. It's a plan. It's calculating the whole thing out and not just haphazardly saying, hey, I think I'm going to go out and do this today. It just doesn't work that way.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let me wrap up with some contact information. You guys have been awesome and appreciate all the insight. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get back to you. Of course, we're going to post your information on the website later on today so people will be able to follow that way. But just in case somebody verbally wants to go take a look now, Jennifer, how would I go about tracking you down?
Oh, it's really easy. You can Google us, Vayu Media, or you can go to our website, www.vayumedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Vayu Media. You can find us on Facebook at Atlanta SEO Services. We're on Google Plus. We're on LinkedIn. We're all over the web.
And that's VAYU, correct?
Correct.
I asked that because I'm a horrible listener. I would think you're saying value all day because
no.
I just run things together, and that is not what you're saying.
No,
VAYU.
VAYU.
Awesome. Skeet, how do I get in touch with you?
So same thing. You can get a hold of us on our website at www.midtowncg.com, or you can email me at cspillane@midtowncg.com. Those would be the best avenues to start a conversation.
Awesome. Guys, I think we covered some great ground today, and I'd love to perhaps have you back sometime so we can go a little deeper into some of this strategy. I know that the questions that we asked today are things that are burning in the mind of business owners every day, day in and day out, as they try to solve these problems and grow their businesses. I want to thank you for taking time to be here to share with our audience today. I want to thank all of you who are out there listening today, and remember, we're here every Thursday at noon answering your questions on how to grow your business and increase your revenues. As always, I am your host, Andy Lowe from Renegade Radio. And until next time, remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking.